I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, welcome to the Curator Podcast. This is episode 43. Hi, hello, welcome once again, dear listener, to the Curator Podcast. I am your host, Mark Fraser. A couple of weeks ago, I managed to do a whole bunch of interviews at the one time, so this is one of those interviews, thank God. In this episode, I'm talking to Jake, Ian and Sean from Modern Baseball, who are, I think, a really great band. I enjoyed their set when I seen them live recently, and let's just be perfectly honest, guys. They're doing that whole brand of indie emo thing, which is just really perfect right now. I think it's honest and sincere, and they're honest and sincere guys who have had quite a lot to say, actually. I enjoyed talking to them. They were, we were doing it backstage in stereo, so towards the end of the interview, there was a little bit of noise from the music that started to play before doors opened, but, you know, shit, that happens sometimes. That's cool. But, yeah. It was really great to sit down and get a chat with these guys. I seen them a while ago playing with You Blew It in Glasgow, and that was a sold out show in audio. This time they were playing another venue called Stereo, which is much, much bigger, and that too was sold out, and the crowd seemed to have a fucking great time, and to be honest, so did I. They're a cracking band who are going to go on and do cracking things. They've got a new record coming out next Friday called Holy Ghost, and I have heard it, guys, and yeah. It's good. It's good. The production is much more polished than the last two records, which I guess is good. And we actually talk a little bit about that in the interview as well. So I won't ruin that for you too much. Now, at the start of March, they put two songs online from the new record. So I'm going to play both of them. I'm going to open up with one of them, and then I'm going to close with the other one, obviously. So the first one is a really great song. Kind of got a Modest Mouse-esque vibe, I guess, and it's called Every Day, and it's sung by Jake. And as you're probably aware, if you're a fan of the band, the songwriting duties are kind of split between two vocalists and guitarists, Jake and Brendan. So this opens with Jake's song, and it's called Every Day. I hope you enjoy it.
You hold my hand, you hold your liquor, rejection screen. It's flicker. You gave me tiny tale of your truth. I was starved and you were free. I drove back home when you got sick.
Thank you.
knows what's up. She's tripping, sipping that devotion stuff. Breaking like her bread won't part. She's sipping, sipping from that holy cup.
I'm here with three quarters of Modern Baseball. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing
good.
All right.
Chilling.
Yeah. The generic question is always, how's the tour going? So how's the tour going?
It's cool. It's long. We've been in a lot of countries now. So, but it's good. It's been fun. We went to Australia for the first time. That was cool.
That was awesome. We're out with two of our favorite bands that we've ever toured with, too, Pup and Three Man Cannon, so.
Yeah. What was that like in Australia?
It was wild. Everybody was way nicer than America, and the beaches were beautiful.
The waves were sick.
The waves were sick.
Waves were super sick.
We all hung 10, and yeah, it was awesome.
I've always wanted to go. My father went to Australia once, and he was saying that he didn't like it, because everything there wants to kill you.
That is true. It was kind of scary with like the spiders and snakes and stuff. But
and everyone's super racist as well, apparently.
Oh, actually, you know, come to think of it, there was a little bit of
a homogeny in
yeah. It's they're just so like separated, kind of. So I don't know.
But
it's weird. I guess if it works for you, I mean, that's, I guess that's why it was a prison. I guess.
Yeah.
Don't, apparently, you don't say that to them. They get really angry if you tell them it used to be a prison. Just something to remember when you go back, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to go on too long about it, but I should probably foreground it. This podcast is basically about creativity.
Cool.
So, it's...
We love that.
Yeah, that's what it's...
All about that.
Yeah, I would like to think so, being a band, otherwise doing the wrong fucking thing. But I just wanted to know, I'd like to start off with like an origin story, but not for the band, but I guess just for you guys as musicians. So, anybody can take this question first, but I would like to know, when did it all begin? Like, when did you realise you wanted to be like a musician, I guess? And feel free to jump in, anyone.
I started taking piano lessons because my parents made me when I was 6, and then when I was 10, decided piano isn't cool enough. And then my parents bought me my first guitar, and I've been playing ever since. I bought my first bass shortly after that, so.
So were you like a bass player, like a guitar player that became a bass player?
Yeah.
That happened to me as well, man. Fucking sucks.
He's a damn good bass player, though. You got lucky.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever, like, considered myself a musician, like, as a lifestyle until maybe, like, last year. But... I also started playing music in like elementary school. I started playing cello, and then cello wasn't cool enough, so I bought a bass on eBay.
Hence the phrase, cello, you got a bass.
Exactly. And then my mom's friend gave me a guitar after that, and then everything else. But yeah, so I guess I was pretty young.
That's interesting you mentioned you didn't really realize you were a musician until like... last year.
What
changed? Like,
I mean, I always kind of thought of it as like something I really love, but something I just do on the side when I have time. But then there was a moment more recently with the band where I was like, oh wait, this is what I do all the time.
Yeah.
So then I was like, I guess I'm a musician now.
I think it was, for me, it was when I started paying taxes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
what is my job? What have I been doing?
Occupation musician.
Yeah, it's weird.
I've never considered, like, it's really unglamorous, and I need to fill out my tax return this year, like, I'm coming back from tour, I need to fucking declare all this.
Right.
It's
really, it takes a lot of getting used to, just like when you're in a cab, and like, oh, what do you do? And you're like, I'm a musician. You feel like such
Rich
a
music man.
So you don't have a job.
But no, I can show you my tax return, I've got, I've made money, like, please don't disregard what I just said. Was there, like, so you guys, I guess, paying taxes aside, was there, can you remember the moment when you realised that you wanted to be in a band? Was there a particular moment when you thought this is the avenue that I'm going down? Like, I know you just said that you decided, or you sort of realised, shit, I play music for a living. Like,
yeah.
I suppose maybe a better question is, a lot of bands don't realise they cross that kind of threshold from it being like a hobby to being a musician. What was the realization like on that?
I think that was like way back when the first time that I saw like a local band play in the town that I was from, because I had seen like bigger concerts before of like national touring bands, but it wasn't until, and I like played guitar and stuff, but it wasn't until I found out that like they were bands in my town started by people who were my age that I was like, oh, I want to do that.
Yeah, it was, and even going to, like, you know, festivals, like, Warped Tour kind of stuff, and, like, seeing people on stage and be like, Jesus, they're, like, my age.
Yeah.
And they're doing this.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, either combination of seeing it at the local level and seeing it at the bigger level and seeing, like, that trajectory where you're just like, oh, this is viable. Like, I could do this and, like, probably not make money, but, like, I could, like, travel and people might come see me.
Yeah.
The traveling aspect must be really fortunate thing to have, because not a lot of bands can do a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
Not everybody's cut out to be a full-time musician either, I don't think, you know, like,
right.
a lot of people can't. I guess, even if you're young, it's difficult to make that cut-off point to go, on, I'm going to dedicate all my time to doing this.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a lot of time away from home, and a lot of time from away from the rest of your life.
And you don't really realize how much you give up until you, like, do it and then come back. Like, oh wow.
And you play a lot of catch up.
Exactly.
It's like it's finally that first time you're traveling with a band, you can't fathom that this would ever happen to you and you're so excited.
Right.
And then it really sinks in the fifth time you get to Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in Texas for the fifth time.
Yeah. What is my life?
Yeah.
So I guess I'm kind of wondering then, does life kind of go on hold? Does it feel like it's going on hold when you're on tour, but then you get home and it's like, oh shit, everything's changed?
Yeah, that
kinda.
That definitely is a thought that I've had at times. I wouldn't say that is like entirely true.
Certain aspects.
Yeah, especially with like the internet and being connected to everyone while you're away.
Right.
Like you can kind of see things happening. But, I mean, especially when you're overseas and you're cut off from everything and you come back and you're like, wow, all of this stuff happened with my friends, family, the place I live or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't there for any of it.
One weird thing that I remember was, I guess looking back now, I realized that the music scene in Philly has like periods of like having a lot of bands and a lot of shows and then less bands, less shows, and it kind of goes back and forth. But I remember around the time of one of our first long tours, maybe the first Wonder Years tour, when we left, like, the scene was super crazy, everything was awesome, there were so many cool bands, and we had, like, left for that tour, and I was listening to all the bands that were playing around town at the time for that whole tour, like, on my headphones. And then we got home, like, 6 weeks later, and, like, some of those bands went on tour, or like some of those bands broke up, or some of those bands never put out more music, and it was like, oh, I never got to see that band. Like, what happened? So that was really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys, I read in other interviews that you guys kind of all moved to Philly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did that play a part in becoming and deciding that you want to be in a band? Seeing that happening?
I think it definitely...
It definitely was a motivator.
Yeah.
Of sorts.
It made it feel kind of purposeful in a way. Like, we all came to this place for whatever reason, but, like, we came into this place that was, like, a hotbed of musical activity, and we all quietly realized that we could be a part of it. So, it was pretty... It was really exciting, more than anything.
Just rolling back a little bit, team coming off tour and things have changed. Is that ever... Is that a comfortable existence? Like, to know that you're coming home and feeling that you've missed stuff? Or you okay with that? Or, like, do you ever think about it? Or is it just like, oh, another thing's changed, mm-hmm. and then, cool, just get on with life and look forward to the next thing? Or is... I often wonder about that when bands are away for long periods of time and they come back, you know?
I think, I mean, I kind of think of it as, like, the cost of living, like, you know, like...
Right.
Cost of
being,
having the opportunity of being in a band that's like doing well and traveling, you know, and, like, you have all these amazing aspects to your life, and, like, even though tour can be hard sometimes, like, you're not in a 9-to-5, and
right.
to get that opportunity, you've got to give up some other stuff, so it's harder sometimes, and sometimes it just feels like I wanted to get away from home for a little while, so that was sick.
And you got to remind yourself a lot of the time, I know I do this, like, if you get halfway through a tour and you feel really bummed out or you miss home and you think about, you know, you're missing all your friends and you, like, saw a picture of everybody at a show or at a bar or something and you're like, that looks really fun. But, like, I can do that when I'm home, but I don't have to do that, like, every night ever, you know? So.
Yeah, and I feel like also on tour, it's important to remind yourself whenever you're feeling homesick, because it usually happens, you know, like... Especially when you're doing, like, a full U.S. tour, which can be, like, 5-6, we've even done a 7-week tour.
Yeah.
Like, around week 3 or 4, you start to think about it more, and you just have to remind yourself about the, like, week or two leading up to it, where you're just like, oh my god,
gotta
get out of here, I can't wait to be on tour, like, so.
Apart from the crowds and stuff, like, I've toured and... Britain a couple of times, and
mm-hmm.
I literally, my brain cannot comprehend how fucking big America is, like,
it's
how
huge.
Long the drives are, and shit.
Yeah,
like, you just don't get that here in Britain at all.
It's so crazy for the first time we came over here, and every drive is like 2 hours or 3 hours, but on when we do a US tour, not only is it 6 weeks long, but you've got like 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 drives that are 12 hours. Just to get from like one city to another.
In Australia,
crazy.
You gotta fly to shows.
Yeah,
you didn't realize
that's
that. Shit's nuts.
Yeah.
You mentioned briefly Warp Tour, and I was just what it's not a question I had, but it popped into my head. There is, like, you guys were kind of with a little contingent of bands, which were probably quite out of place in how Warp Tour is now. Is that safe to say that? Was that kind of an experience you had that you were kind of?
Wait, I'm sorry.
A bit out of place for the many of the other bands that play. It was kind of.
Like, we were in the same scene as them, kind of?
Yeah, well, most of the bands are, like, kind of metal bands and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
Well, that's not the Warped Tour that I've ever known.
Oh.
You know,
oh.
Like, so what was it like? Did you have that expectation when you went on it, to be like, oh, well, these bands are kind of, I don't know, they're totally different from us. They're kind of like hair metal, something? Like,
yeah,
it's
definitely a lot different now than it used to be.
Yeah, and even when we went, it was a lot different from what it used to be.
Right.
Then. I feel like it's just an ever-changing thing.
Yeah.
I suppose Kevin's quick into that, seeing what was happening and making it cater to the kids, because
as a
kid,
yeah.
at the end of the
yeah,
day.
I mean, it's just not necessarily, what's happening is not necessarily always good. So
yeah.
If he has to cater to it, it's not like we always agree with
yeah.
him. You know?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the new record, because I've been listening. Actually, a thing happened. I only got it yesterday, but man, it's not often that a record stays with me anymore. And I'm aware it's a factor of me getting old.
Yeah.
Because, like, music,
yeah.
I'm still really connected to music, but a lot of it doesn't make me feel like I don't get the feeling I used to get anymore.
It definitely,
like,
feels harder to find something. Yeah.
But, like, I listened to it 4 times in 2 days, which I've not done for a long fucking time. And
it
feels like. It kind of feels like an open wound to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's cool.
And I was wondering, like,
sweet.
There's a lot of honesty in it. Is that something you always, like, most of your records seem to have that vibe. Is that something you kind of strive for? Like,
yeah, I think so. When me and Brendan first started writing songs, the bands that we bonded over were bands that did that. Like, we had been listening to music for our whole lives, but we had only recently found bands like Say Anything and Gaslight Anthem and Weatherbox and all kinds of stuff where the principal songwriter was like actually trusting the listener enough to share like valuable emotional information, and then, you know, you create this relationship with the band because you can be honest with the listener and with the songwriter. So we thought that was kind of crazy, so we were like, we should do that.
So is that like just a default kind of writing mode now?
So I think it's just natural now for us to keep doing it. But we definitely try, we always try to figure out how to do it better and stay sincere.
I think this that whole sincerity aspect is, it's like treating your fans not stupid either, like giving them, it's like an author, do you know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Like presenting them the art and saying, look, you can make sense of this, we don't need to break it down for you, so that you have to, in small parts, to make, like, to basically bludgeon that message,
totally.
Which a lot of bands tend to do.
Yeah.
Is that a self-conscious, I guess that's now, I guess when you started, there's always that self-conscious thing.
Mm-hmm. I think, I feel like before, I think the way that we write has changed since the first record and the second record, and we still try to be as honest as we can, but we definitely are trying to grow as songwriters and like think about things in a deeper way and like offer that to our fans, like not assume that they need to have us write a certain way, like keep things like the same, like try to create a situation where we can try to move forward as writers and like intellectuals even, and have the fans grow with us to like discover those new ideas. So yeah,
I did find the bands or people that like bands like yourselves and Gaslight Anthem are a lot more fervent in their kind of love. Would you see you guys have quite an intimate relationship with your fans because of that?
Yeah, it's like this weird, when you make yourself vulnerable in your music and you show it to like so many people, there's obviously, you know, people who will hear like a song one time on YouTube and they think like, oh, that's really corny. But if you find that kind of song, you listen to it over and over again, then you feel like, even though you've never met this person who wrote the song, you can trust each other. So we'll have these crazy moments with fans when they come up to us at the shows and they'll be like, you know, this song got me through this crazy time, this song got me through this crazy time, I feel like I know you. And then we'll feel like we know that person. So it's really special and crazy.
Were you guys prepared for that to happen when you first...
No. No.
What was it like the first time that happened? Can you remember what you, like, what it was, what you felt when someone says, like, I feel like I totally get you?
It was like, I had felt that about other bands before, but the first time somebody said that to me, I was like, I don't even know. It was really overwhelming. It made me feel really special, and it also gave me like this really cute, like, universal feeling of connection, you know, through music. It definitely made music a lot more important to me. Like, I always appreciated music on a certain level, but when I was able to do that for someone else, then that took, like, music to a whole new level for me. Like, the fact that I could make something that did that to somebody made me value it even more than I already did.
See that, the whole vulnerability that you can't display, does that make it harder to play older songs? If you don't really identify with that moment, or that moment's kind of past that was in that song?
I think it's definitely not the same as playing a brand new song. It's like lately when we've been playing the brand new record songs, it feels like really into it, but to still play the old songs and have people sing them and even still say after the shows, like, this old song helped me get through this, still means like a whole lot. So
the record sounds, well, I think it's the best sounding record you guys have done. I know a lot of the older stuff was kind of more lo-fi.
Yeah.
And this is definitely more hi-fi.
Hell yeah.
Did it have to be a change in the way you guys were creating music to record in that way, or was it just like, well, let's make it sound like this time, or?
I think, well, the number one biggest change that plays into that is the fact that we actually brought somebody else in to the studio with us for the first time ever. We had done everything else ourselves, but we brought in Joe Reinhardt of Hopalong and Algernon Cadwallader to engineer and produce the record, so we could just focus on playing and writing. And that had an enormous effect. But also, another big thing was we kind of knew our way around the studio way better this time.
For sure.
So, and around what we wanted, how we wanted things to sound.
Yeah.
You know, before it kind of just be like, throw up a guitar amp, we don't really have time to make it sound as perfect as we want it. And we don't really know how we want it to sound. Just kind of, you know, do it to do it.
But we definitely knew more of what we wanted this time.
We spent a lot more time and effort making everything sound just how we wanted it to.
It definitely sounds like a lot of care has been taken against that, which is... I was surprised when I heard it at first, because like, I wasn't expecting it to sound that way.
That's awesome.
But I was happy because I like loudness.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, it's loud.
It also sounds like musically it's probably the most triumphant thing you guys have done. I think. I know a lot of the likes are deal with a lot of darker themes and stuff, but musically it does sound like it's like fuck yes, like overcome, you know.
That's sick.
Does that make sense, or am I just making it up?
I think that actually comes from the production a little bit, because when we would record things ourselves before, because we weren't so well versed in recording, like we would want things to come off a certain way. But because of our like actual recording limitations, everything always, I think, came off still sincere, but kind of like plunky and not so triumphant. But I think with Joe's help, we definitely were able to like create a really big sound.
Yeah, and be more focused.
Yeah,
I think too, like, I would say, you know, this is the first record, but the other records be like, I think you could basically say what you had in your head is what we ended up with.
Right. Yeah.
And like, this is the first time where we had ideas, but like, we needed someone else around us, better gear around us, more time to actually make it something that exceeded our expectations.
Yeah. Yes.
As opposed to just be like, all right, we need to get this, and then lay
then we
it
do
down,
it, and then it's
okay.
Okay,
that's what that is.
Yeah.
Not totally. Like, oh shit, expect that.
This could be even better.
Did was there more attention to detail to parts then when you were recording?
Definitely.
Or somebody else was doing them then?
Oh,
definitely.
Yeah.
Plus just the fact that Jake and Ian would engineer the other records, so they didn't have to think about the engineering. We all had a hand. Well, we had zero handed. They had a hand, but they could focus on music.
Because before we'd be like playing a guitar part and then be like, oh wait, I should move the microphone. And you move the microphone and then you go back and like play the guitar part again.
Yeah.
But this time it was just focus on the guitar part. Joe's going to worry about the way it sounds and everybody can totally focus on what we're doing.
Yeah. Especially with more time too, we could, you know,
we
could just focus on, or we could listen back to what we've done, and if we didn't like it, we could go back and do it again.
The last record was on the Billboard charts in America, which is, was there any expectation going into this one that you had to fucking do something a bit different, or?
I still don't believe that happened before, so.
Yeah, either that or, I don't know. I feel like
I always forget that. That's pretty fucked up.
My grandpa was stoked on that.
Yeah.
He's like,
I got no idea.
So you guys, like, you can go, by the way, this record was, it's, you fucking, people were listening to it and shit, like,
it's,
what's going on?
I don't know what's going on.
Like, come quickly like this and like, the night show sold out, you know?
Yeah.
It's bigger venue than last time and shit, so.
It's wild.
That's quite triumphant in yourself, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a cool feeling.
Anyway, Bob has helpfully turned on the music, which means it's really messing with my sound up. I'm going to wrap up. Anything you guys want to say, anything you want to ask me before I finish?
We love Glasgow.
Yeah, we really do.
Scotland, and we went to Edinburgh the first time yesterday, and we love Edinburgh. And we got to hold owls today, and that rocked.
Oh, man.
Also, we love the pooches.
Yeah, we love the pooches.
Favorite band in
Scotland forever.
What is it you love about Glasgow?
This architecture is beautiful.
Yep.
I think
I guess some dungeons in Glasgow that's about older than your entire country, so.
Yeah. Is that like the beauty of just the history and but the scene's super cool and like fans go off at the shows and Bob is the fucking man.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
And you know, me and Ian really love Buckfast and going out to bottling people, so
it's
got a little stuff for everything.
That's not what I grew up. Oh, yeah, it's been a complete pleasure. Thank you very much for talking to me.
Of course.
Thank you
so much, man.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So there you have it. That's Modern Baseball. Lovely, lovely guys. I really wish we could have spoke for longer because I had a ton more questions in my head, at least anyway. But it just didn't happen because as soon as the music came on, the whole sound just kind of went out the window a little bit for me. No one's fault really, but having to stop and change over to a microphone and rearrange everybody to have a further conversation would have proven to be a total headache for everyone involved. So when they come back, we'll definitely do it again because I'm sure they'll be back soon. I mean, those guys are just about to bring out a new record, so I've got no doubt they'll be back in the very near future, I suspect. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Thank you very much for listening. Keeping it short and sweet this week because I'm about to head out and tour with my band, so I don't really have a lot of time to ramble on these little intros and outros. So, yeah, thank you for listening. Please check me out on... Please, if you're on iTunes, please give me a rating and review. I'd really appreciate that. And just pop over to my website, thecreatorpodcast.com, for all your creator podcast needs. Oh yeah, I went there. I went full Marc Maron there. Yeah, I totally did. I'm going to put you out now with Apple Cider, I Don't Mind, which is another song from Holy Ghost. I hope you enjoy it. Once again, thanks for listening. Until next time, bye-bye.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.